In a cold, faraway world, a battle is raging between evil and good. From the stars that came here to Earth, caught in this struggle through the whole universe, robotic warriors.
Perceptor here. Welcome to Transformers for your listening pleasure. TFYLP for short. Join us and discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. And now, without further ado, here is Weird Wolf. Now, where did I put that chorus stop? Ratchet, did you take the chorus stop?
You are listening to TFYLP, episode number 100, recorded April 18th, 2014. I am your host, Weird Wolf, Duron Land, a.k.a. Weird Wolf. Along with me this evening is Megamus.
Hello.
And Barisi.
How's it going?
Well, we've reached triple digits finally, and it's been a long ride. I don't know if a lot of you guys noticed the post that I made earlier today. Actually, a couple of days ago, is a real big coincidence. My friend Betosai from GeekExistence.com, we were talking about the podcast and when it began back in 2010, and it's been about 3.5-4 years now. And we started out as a general toy podcast called Geek Existence Toys for the website geekexistence.com. And we've since broke away and started tftalk.net. And a couple years ago, we started calling ourselves TFYLP. We became a Transformers dedicated podcast. And a lot of the first 10 episodes of Geek Existence Toys, which that's all there was of Geek Existence Toys, they were lost. I didn't have those on my hard drive because I used a different computer then, and that computer has since died. It's sitting over here collecting dust, and I just didn't have those files anymore. And they weren't on the Geek Existence server anymore because, like I said, we've moved over to a different server. And but fortunately, Betosai from Geek Existence actually had a backup copy of them. And we have all of the first 10 episodes with the exception of the very first episode. And we're working to try to find that. Now, if you have been a listener since the very beginning, thank you. If you happen to have episode number one of Geek Existence Toys, please let me know. I'd like to get that from you and put it up on the website for everyone to hear. It's kind of humorous to go back and see where Insane Galvatron and I started. Insane Galvatron wanted to be with us this evening, but his wife is not feeling well and she's in the hospital. He couldn't be with us this evening. We're not really going to celebrate the 100th episode because we didn't become a dedicated Transformers podcast until the 11th episode. So around episode 111, we're going to have some special things go on, and it's going to be really cool. So stick around for that. And it's probably going to be sometime in late May, maybe up to mid-June, that episode will air. We do have some great things in the works coming. Watch our Twitter feed at TFYLP for that, and also check out the TFTalk.net website. And recently we just started the TFTalk.net Facebook page, which is separate from our TFYLP group. The group is mainly a page where we can discuss in a forum type situation anything that goes on in the podcast or that just happens to come up in the fandom. The TF Talk page is for relaying news and everything, pretty much, you know, kind of differentiate things. And that way we all don't always clutter up the Facebook group where everybody's talking. With, you know, news posts that can be posted elsewhere. Week after next, I want to remind our listeners, we have Miss Samantha Newark scheduled to be on the show. She was the voice of Ariel from Generation 1 in the episode Wardon. From the episode Bot in Season 2, she was Elise Presser. And in the episode from Season 3, Face of Nijika, she was the Zemojin princess. And most popularly, her most famous character was Jem from Jem and the Holograms. So be sure to check her out on our show May 2nd, which will be airing at 9 p.m. unless things change, but it should be airing at 9 p.m. Eastern and 6 p.m. Pacific. Also, check out our sponsor, CapturePrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service. CapturePrey.com. Now that I've got all the plugging and promoing out of the way, we're going to talk a little bit tonight. We're going to start a series of discussions about Japanese Transformers. And tonight we're going to be concentrating on the first Divergent series from the West. See, back in the 80s and early 90s, well, back in the 80s, Transformers in the U.S. and Japan pretty much had the same shows. You know, we had Season 1, Season 2, and Season 3. And then along about when we had Season 4 here, which was the Rebirth, it kind of split. We got the Rebirth, which was a three-parter, and that was the end of Generation 1 for us. But the Japanese got an entire season called The Headmasters, and then followed by Master Force, Victory, and Zone. And then they went into some other series like Japanese Beast Wars, and it was a lot of cool things. But tonight we're concentrating on the first Divergent series from the West called Headmasters. At the top of the show, I played the intro for the cartoon that aired in Japan, and there was a lot of cool differences between the U.S. and Japan. Bryce, I know you're a big-time collector of the Japanese Transformers. You want to tell us some of your favorites and some things that are important that to differentiate the American Headmasters series toys with the Japanese ones?
Just the Headmasters in general, the only difference really is Fort Max had a sword. But
which was the Master Sword.
Yeah. He had a small one and a larger one they used in the show. They got one of the Diaclones released. I think Megamus has one handy of the train bots.
Yeah. The Raiden.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we got new toys that they were from the Diaclone line, but were used in the show. The Raiden, which is the trains that combine. And this was actually, we were talking about this before, this is actually different than the Diaclone, because it came with an extra piece. It's the little chess piece here, the orange piece.
Helps secure the bot mode a lot more.
Yeah, it was definitely a better construction.
I've never actually held a Raiden in hand. What's special about that toy? What's really cool about it? I mean, I don't know really anything about it.
I don't have it. When you take it apart, it also came with tracks that you could lay down, and they connected together, so you could actually take the train in train mode and push it on the tracks. And that was a throwback from the Diaclone with the tracks, and the actual Diaclone came with a little play mat, and it was pretty rare to find. I was just now thinking, the other thing is that in the Diaclone they had the spring-launching fists, and when they brought them over here, they just made them plug-in. They just
also
plug-in.
The Diaclone driver's seat for the headpiece is remolded so it won't open.
Right, because they of course don't have drivers.
It's kind of funny that they come with tracks, because in the Japanese Headmaster series, most of the time, Raiden was a flying train. A lot of the times, right. It seemed like.
Right. I haven't seen tracks in the gift set, though. Did they come with the separate releases?
No, it came with the 100. I'm not sure about the 300. I don't have the 300 gift set. The 100s, the individually ones, I've got, they come with a little track.
Like, I got the 300?
Yeah.
Right. No track.
So in the gift set, they didn't put it in there?
No.
Yeah. That's weird.
Or 131, whatever you want to call it.
Right. They had a 100 series, a 300 series, and I really didn't think there was any difference between the two of them.
The 300 is the Zone series, isn't it? The Zone release?
But it was the same figures.
Yeah.
But I don't know if one had tracks and one didn't. I'd have to look and see which box ones I have. I thought I had the 100 series, because I know I don't have the gift set. But no, the gift set is 100, isn't it?
Yeah, 131.
Then it's the 300 series I have. That's the one I have.
Like 125 to 130, I think, are also individuals.
Yeah. Well, they you could buy them individually or in the gift set. And then when they reissued it, or however you want to say it, for the 300 series, I don't think they did a gift set. So I don't think there's a 300 series gift set.
Unless it's a knockoff.
Yeah, I mean, I know that one's been knocked off before, and it's in some really, really goofy colors. Plastic quality. Yeah.
How much does a Raiden usually run?
Oh, I haven't looked at one for a while.
Last three, one was 800, missing a couple connectors. One was a grand.
Wow.
And one was 12.
I know that you can get the individual box ones for right around $100 to $150 each. So you figure six of them, so you're right up there again. So.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's not cheap. He's a jerk.
No, but it's just like anything else. If you just keep looking, you'll find one. You'll find it for the right price.
Yeah.
I was happy with what I paid. So.
Well, it happens to be one of the only gift sets that I still need. I have not acquired the Raiden gift set. And that's also one of the instances where the Diaclone gift set is easier to acquire than the Transformers release.
How much does the Diaclone usually run?
I've seen it was $600-$700.
Wow. And that's still not cheap either.
No, but considering the others will cost you $8 to $1,000.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of strange because whenever I first got back into collecting and in the early 2000s, whenever I started discovering the Japanese Transformer lines, Raiden was one of the first toys that I actually found out about. And even back then, in the early 2000s, he was fetching a very high price. I'm talking like $400 to $500. And I was like, that is just outrageous. Why would somebody pay that much for a combiner? And now you're getting that's any Japanese release Transformer, it seems like any of them's getting really, really high prices now.
Well, I think there's a I'm not going to say a resurgence, but the, I find that a lot of the Japanese stuff, especially if it was exclusive, I mean, this isn't like a recolored exclusive. This is an exclusive exclusive. And I find that they just keep going up and up in price. I don't know if it's because it's the last thing people have or what they need or whatever. It's kind of like we were talking before with U.S. collecting. I see a lot of the MicroMasters and all that going up in price, where most people didn't care about them. And I think it's because a lot of people who are serious into collecting are at that point where they've got the others, and they're willing to pay more for the pieces that they need.
It's kind of like Insane Galvatron. I know he was basically, I mean, if he found a great deal, he would go ahead and get one. But he pretty much, you know, his the way he was collecting, you know, he had to finish 84, then 85, then 86, and then he was working on 87 and 88 characters. You know, he pretty much worked on them in chronological order. And, you know, by the time that he got to some of the 87, 88 characters, they were like...
They were expensive.
Very expensive. And he's like, it was a stupid pretender. Why is it so expensive?
It's a little late now. And, of course, in hindsight, you can always say this, but I actually thought about that, and I gave advice to one other guy, and it actually was really helpful, is do it backwards. Do it backwards, especially like right now. If you're looking at starting to collect and hit the Action Masters, hit Action Masters because they're not that expensive right now, but they will be. They will be because this group of people who went from, you know, 84, 85, 86, 87, 88, they're making their way up to 89 and 90, and then that's when the prices are going to go up. So. My suggestion would be work backwards. Now, the funny part is it also worked true because while you're working backwards from, like, 90, those first releases, if you'll remember, like, you know, Jazz, Prowl, this and the other, they've gone down in price because they're getting reissued. So you still get those cheaper. So just a little tip for those who were looking to start collecting.
I would start randoms.
I know.
I love random.
I know. You know oh, go ahead.
I went completely random. Whatever was the cheapest at the time, grabbed it.
I'm not going to say I was random. I'm going to say I was opportunistic.
Yeah.
If it came along, I got it.
Now, I remember back whenever my collection was at the height of its heyday, and I had over 2,000 figures, I owned... the vast majority of Generation 1. I mean, there's maybe a few of, like, MicroMaster sets and a few I actually had no intention of collecting Action Masters, so I didn't have those. But of the main releases up until Action Masters, I lacked, like, there was, like, 20 to 25 figures that I didn't have. And most of those were MicroMaster sets. Counted the sets of four as, like, one. Because, you know, you don't want to buy individual, you know, MicroMasters if you can get them as a set. And I had a lot of those, and then I started delving into the Japanese, and I owned a near-complete Overlord, a near-complete Victory Saber, and I had a Death Source, but the only thing I was missing was his rifle. And... that right there, I love Death Source so much, and he has become one of my biggest regrets. And I picked him up. I remember back in the day, I paid what you know, in 2003 or four, I paid then top dollar for him, and it was like $200. And now I would like kill to pay that much for a Death Source.
Sure, sure. Oh, by the way, Brian Johnson, high five. There you go.
Yeah, listeners, if you're listening to us live, you can interact with us on YouTube, on our YouTube channel. I'm monitoring it right now. Or you can talk to us on Facebook, on our Facebook group at TFY, or facebook.com/groups/TFYLP. Megamus is monitoring that feed, as well as YouTube. I've also got that pulled up, and I'm monitoring our YouTube. Twitter, at TFYLP. So if you have any comments or questions on anything that we're talking about tonight on the show, feel free to post them, and if they're relevant, we'll actually talk about them here on the show.
You know, and as I have always said before, I dare you. I dare you. Post it. Post it. We'll talk about it. I dare you. I dare you.
But let's see here. Swage 66 just posted that he'll be happy to give us a gift set, but it's only a pair.
Yeah, I'm sure. The problem is he's got that gift that, from what I understand, does not keep on giving, and it's that little micro change gift set. So, you know,
it's not spring loaded.
It's okay. This is one particular time when the micro change cassette thing. It's not going your way.
Yeah. It's not spring loaded, doesn't shoot very far. But anyway, the Japanese G1s, they were really cool. I didn't really get into a whole lot of the Headmaster series toys, because even back then, like I said, Raiden, I looked into purchasing one, but even back in the mid-2000s, he was running upwards of $400 complete, and I just thought that was ridiculous to pay for a figure. And compared to today's prices, I would gladly pay that now. But then you've also got Artfire and Stepper.
Get me started on those.
Even though they're just repaints, they're also two of the rarest Generation 1 toys. To find them and find them complete and in really good condition is extremely rare. I honestly don't remember the last time I saw one in person. It's probably at a BotCon.
I seen an Artfire last year at TFCon, but it was not complete.
Yeah, and
it went cheap too.
For those,
so how much was it?
Huh?
Do you remember how much it was?
$150
for an Artfire.
Yeah.
Did it have any accessories?
No.
Yeah. See. Yeah. And people will think, well, I'll just take a piece from, I can't remember which.
Inferno.
Is it No. Which Target Master comes with it?
Frank's Gorgeous.
But then there's a connector piece.
Yeah.
That is exclusive to that toy, and isn't like aren't the wings? Yeah, the wings are silver instead of white.
Yeah.
And the fists are gray and not black.
Yeah. So you'd have to do some painting.
Yeah, all the pieces are exclusive to it. So, you could get away with taking a fracas from Scourge and putting it on there, but the other parts, that's what you're paying for.
Yeah, this is the closest I'll get to Artfire probably ever, is owning the name. And this is the Million Publishing exclusive Henkei Artfire.
And I was really excited when they did that. That one and Stepper. I thought it was
Really well done.
It was a step in the right direction. Yeah. I liked it. They did that. And we're getting a little bit of love from Diaclone, from Fun Publications,
This right here is by far, in my opinion, by far the best use of the Reveal the Shield Jazz mold. Those colors are just flipping gorgeous on that guy.
Yeah.
And, standing him next to Artfire, they just work. Two of my favorites.
There's a reissue.
And then they reissued Stepper.
And no Artfire. Wouldn't want to do that.
Well, that's kind of funny, because we know the mold is available. They released it in the TFC box series.
Yeah, but Fracas's mold might not be. Well, that's my guess.
That's just it, though. I mean, they could have easily just, and we know they had the cup mold. Why not just use it? You know,
Recoiler, right?
Yeah.
Recoiler. So I mean, yeah, and 99% of us wouldn't have given a crap anyway.
I mean, if I just get my hands on one. Now, for those of you who aren't familiar with Artfire and Stepper, Artfire essentially was a Inferno remold and redeco in Japan, and as you can see from the United version, is essentially a white fire truck with some red on him, and like Brycey was saying, you know, gray and some black and everything. Stepper was a Jazz redeco, in my opinion, one of the coolest redecos ever. I mean, they basically took the Jazz mold, everything that was white on Jazz, everything that was black on Jazz, they made white. And all the accents were like a really shiny gold. They had gold flames, gold face, gold chest, waist part. And then the white car was actually black. And they both came with Target Masters. They were Target Masters. I know the Jazz mold, the spoiler was remolded to fit a Target Master. In the spoiler, what was it? What was his Target Master in Generation 1? Was it Hot Rods?
Nightstick.
Oh, Nightstick from Cyclonus. Yeah. That's right.
Cyclonus.
Because that's right. Because in Japan, they didn't get Target Master, Cyclonus, and Scourge, did they? I can't remember.
I don't think so.
But there's some minute differences in some of the toys. I know we'll talk about more of them whenever we get to Master Force, because there's quite a few that was different in Master Force. But the television show, as we started out the top of the episode with the intro, the television show is completely different, like we said, from the original cartoon that we saw here in the United States. Like I said, we had the Rebirth here in the U.S., and a lot of people don't like the Rebirth. I personally loved it. You know, I mean, it was a very fast-paced episode and pretty much crammed three seasons worth of Transformers into three episodes. And a lot of our favorite characters, like my favorite character, Weird Wolf, he himself didn't even have a speaking line in the Rebirth. He was in maybe five scenes. And his head, Monzo, actually had like one line. And he said something along the lines of, "I get to be paired with this filthy animal. This was a bad investment." So, you know, a lot of people don't like the Headmaster's Rebirth here in the U.S., but much prefer the Japanese series, which I've seen it. It's been about a year, honestly, since I've seen it from beginning to end. I've forgotten a lot of things. But there's a lot that was in the Japanese series that we can get from it that was really entertaining. For example, the abandonment of the Autobots by Hot Rod and Cup and Blur. I mean, they just abandoned the Autobots.
You guys, I'm going home.
Yeah, it's like we're going off on a quest. You know, there's this great war that you guys are fighting. You know, more power to you. I'm going to go do my own thing. Here's a Rodimus Star or something. You know, so, but you know, so he goes off and does his own thing and with Cup and a couple other friends in one episode, and leaves
just after they blew up Cybertron.
Yeah. But, of course, you know, in Japan, Fortress Maximus was called simply Fortress. And the large robot head was pretty much the predominant version of Fort Max that we saw. And then and later in the season, that head would come on to Fortress Maximus, the large body. You guys have any thoughts on the television show, some of your favorite scenes?
I've been trying to get through it again, but I've got the Star TV dub. It's terrible.
And then the consultant from the planet Cybertron.
Hey, that's too much emotion for that series.
Yeah.
Metroplex is fill up and whatnot. It's very hard to sit through.
Yeah, well, the dub, I mean...
I just got the DVDs ordered, so I'm going to retry it with the subs.
Yeah. Well, the intro that you saw at the top of the show here, that was from the DVD. I've got the DVD here in my computer and was playing it, and it's difficult to watch because you're trying to watch the show and read the subtitles at the same time. And for me, you know, it's like you miss something in the show, so you'll have to rewatch the same episode like two or three times to get everything, unless you're like a really quick read. But sometimes there's so much text at the bottom of the show, the scene passes by the time you get it read. And it's kind of annoying, but the series is quite enjoyable overall. You know, bad dub aside, I mean, like I said there a few minutes ago, I mean, everybody with a faceplate pretty much sounded like a guy with his mouth over his or hand over his mouth. And then, of course, we had some really, really hilarious names, like Sparkle for Spike. And what was it? Blaster Solid. Was called Blaster Billy. Was called Billy. Yeah.
Wally for Blur.
Yeah. So just Wally Blur. Maybe that's a play on Wally Burr, the voice director from G1. But it's quite hilarious.
Now, new Soundwave.
Yeah, new Soundwave instead of Sound Blaster.
Well, and I actually think that was an interesting story arc with why they changed the colors and the characters.
Well, essentially, Soundwave was killed. You know, they basically brought him back from the dead, didn't they?
Yeah, both of them.
Yeah.
Now, I'm trying to remember. Did they kill each other, or how did that occur?
Yeah. It was a fight to the death that pretty much waited all three first seasons to see.
Those
two should fight.
Yeah, which is kind of another interesting point that we want to point out, too, about the Headmaster series, is that we actually saw Transformers fight to the death. And the only other time we had ever seen that was in the 86 animated movie here in the United States, because we all know that in Generation 1 in the cartoon, there was never any fights to the death. You know, I mean... Everybody always walked away in the end and came back to fight another day. You know, here in the Japanese Headmaster series, you know, we had Blaster and Soundwave squaring off, and both of them died. You know, neither one of them walked away, and they had to be rebuilt.
A lot more deaths too in the show.
Yeah,
they weren't squeamish about it.
No. I almost squealed with glee, and I believe the very first episode when Trypticon nearly squashed Wheelie, you know. I'm like, please, no.
No love for Wheelie.
Well,
at least he didn't rhyme in that series.
Yeah, he wasn't as annoying. He was just pretty much a young Transformer, but he didn't have the rhyming sing-song, you know, backward sound.
Upside down.
Yeah.
But BS.
Well, the thing is that Wheelie and Daniel still played comic relief through much of the Headmaster series. Whereas in the U.S., they almost were portrayed in a more serious role, weren't they? I mean, I think of Nightmare Planet, where, you know, Daniel seemed like a pretty normal child. You know, he wasn't wasn't comic relief. But my computer seems to be freezing up on me.
Yeah, they had Grimlock for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you have Bryce. He showed the Blaster was how he was changed.
He's got a double thick cassette door too.
That he's too. Predominantly blue and not red.
Yeah.
With white legs and a red gun.
Yeah, red gun and fists.
And then the sound blaster, which was Soundwave, was predominantly black. And that also had a double chest, didn't it, where you could put two cassettes in it?
Yeah. This is the Encore reissue, but close. Yeah, he had the double cassette, and the red that's on both of them could read the little tech readouts.
Right, of
cassettes.
Of Fortress Maximus, wasn't it?
And Scorp Knock on the other ones.
Yeah.
Or in the reissue flip side says both.
Now, I had Twincast, the Encore Twincast, a few months ago, and I remember whenever I got it out, my wife looked at it, and she's like, that looks like a play school toy. And I have to admit, since she said that, I have really looked at Twincast in a different light. Now, I mean, not to say that he's kiddie, it's just that color scheme makes him look even more play school than the original color scheme, in my opinion.
Yeah, true, true. True. But then they also had, now, I'm trying to remember, I know that Takara had put out the little headmasters, and we were talking about those, and that's the first time you actually had animal headmasters.
Those
were they on the show?
As far as I know, there's a brief one scene with them.
I don't remember them being on the show, but I haven't seen it in so long, but... The ones that we're talking about, and the worst thing is I was sitting here trying to remember the names, and I'm horrible.
I know Kirk was one.
If I remember correctly, is that one Kirk, or is that one Kirk?
The pink and purple one's Rodney, I'm pretty sure.
So this one's... No, this one.
Yeah.
That's Rodney. This would be... No, this is
now, this is Kirk. The elephant. Yeah, the elephant that's was Kirk. Shuffler.
Hang on, we got one more human. What was the other one? You had Kirk, and there was one that was Leone, but that was the lion. That's the lion, right?
Yeah.
And then Trizer and Shuffler, which is the hardest one. And what's this cat's name? I'm drawing a blank.
I can't.
Please. Holy crap, we got 5 out of 6. Come on, damn it. We got to get the last one.
I never owned that set. I always wanted that set, but I never owned it.
You're copping out. Now you got to learn. What is it?
It's yellow and blue. Make green.
Okay. That's about it.
Oh,
fuck me. Quick and Google it. Go on. Oh, my gosh.
But anyway, it's... Talking about things that that appeared in the show, that for brief instances, I know we mentioned a few weeks back on the show here, we were talking about Battle Beasts. Battle Beasts.
What's Loafer.
That? Loafer. Loafer, yes. Yes.
Another He's loafing name. Off.
Yes.
Loafing off.
Battle Beasts, they appeared in the Transformers Headmaster series. And Battle Beasts were like these little guys in toy form. They were basically animalistic humanoid creatures that were the inhabitants of a planet on the Headmaster's TV shows. Now, over here in the U.S., Battle Beasts had no connection whatsoever to Transformers. But and I didn't even know that back then. I didn't know they had a connection whenever I saw them on the shelves, or I would have snapped them up. Yeah, in Japan, they were actually part of Transformers canon. And that's an interesting little snippet of trivia there. Is there anyone in the collector fandom that collects the Battle Beasts for Transformers?
Quite a few. I know one of my friends has the whole set.
Really, the whole set?
How many is in the set?
There's over 200.
Dang. Wow.
He has lots.
Yeah. There's over 200. I tried, and I think I got to like 80.
Wow.
About 80 of them. And I had three play sets. I had two of the play sets, and I had one of the sleds and all three chariots. So I was on my way good, very well. But when you get to the laser beasts, they're so expensive.
Well, even the regular battle beasts are still kind of expensive. I mean, they're maybe what, two and a half inches tall, by about an inch and a half wide, and they're like $12 for one, I think.
You can usually get lots of them cheap, this, that, and the other. But if you were really going to be a completist, they had recolors, and then they had sleds. Now, the little sleds with the little shields, you're talking lots and lots of money. Lots of money. So,
now,
get a complete set is expensive.
Now, do you know anything about the differences between the U.S. release of Battle Beasts and the Japanese? Did we get some that they didn't, or vice versa?
I'm trying to think. I know there was color changes in, like, you had the same character, but one would come with a chariot and one didn't, and there was color changes there. The only other ones I know of are Greek. The Greek ones are definitely different. And I know in Japan they had promotional ones like Sunburst and there was another one that was really hard to find. Sunburst was the lion, but they also had the evil whatever that were would they had a chase, quote unquote chase figure for that, and I don't remember what it was.
Pretty sure we got more of them over here than they did over there.
Yeah. Really? We didn't get the chariots. I didn't think we got the chariots, and I know we got the play sets, but and then we got the bandolier. But the other weird stuff like the sleds and the little shields and all that, we never got those. That's why they're so expensive. And I don't think we got laser beasts, did we?
I don't recall the laser beasts either. The laser beasts were the ones with the crystal in their chest, weren't they?
Yeah, it was a little marble.
Yeah.
They had a little marble that you could see through.
Come to think of it, I think we did get this in the get the laser beasts here in the U.S. because I distinctly remember seeing those guys.
I'm not sure.
But
I thought they were Japanese only.
Well,
but it is possible if they came to the U.S., they were towards the end of the series, and that's why they're still expensive.
Yeah. I remember back in the day, though, whenever I was a kid, I saw the Battle Beasts. At first, I'm like, they're kind of stupid. I thought they were like a little racer-type dudes, you know, kind of like, the Muscle, because they were kind of in that genre, you know. You remember the Men from Muscle, like the little pink guys? They were
You got like, what was it, four or six or something like that of those in a bag.
Yeah.
Whereas these Battle Beasts, you only got two.
On a card. Now, the Battle Beasts, later on, there was something from Tyco Toys that the Battle Beasts reminded me of, or they reminded me of Battle Beasts since they came a little bit later. And that was the figures in Dino Riders, the Rulons. You know, how they were like humanoid, and they had like some of them had hammerhead shark heads, some of them had ant heads, some of them lizard heads.
You do know that they brought out again the Battle Beast. Brought them out again.
I was not aware of that.
Yeah, well, first they were they started them at San Diego Comic Con, I believe. They had little giveaways, and they were more like What are those things called? Are they called minifigs? The Marvel, the little Marvel figures. They did like those, and they gauged interest, I guess, and they were so good. They received such a positive response that they made a series of them, and they're a little different. They're a little bigger, and they're not. I don't believe they're rubbery, but they were Battle Beasts. Let me see if I can get a picture of one.
Swede 66, he's asking, is Eddie a headmaster or a beast machine?
Not a beast machine. He's from Beast Wars. He's Beast Wars. Let's see here. There's a lot of the... Yeah, I'm not finding any... But they redid it, and I want to say they did it a year or two ago.
Yeah, I remember hearing about them.
But for the life of me, I can't remember the name of them. I think they were still called Battle Beasts.
Yeah, I was totally turned off to them, and I had totally forgotten about them until I saw the Headmaster series for the first time. I know Insane Galvatron, back in the mid-2000s, he bought the Chinese versions of the Headmasters, Master Force, and Victory. They came in like this weird box, and then you open up the box, and then it was like a cloth, or not a cloth, but like a CD binder that was in it that had them burned to DVDs or CDs in it. And that was the first time I ever watched Headmasters, was that way. And I assume they were like a illegal knockoff of the show, or not knockoff, but illegal copies. And seeing the Battle Beasts in those reminded me about it. I'm like, wow, those had connections to Transformers? I never knew it, you know. Now let's get to the Headmasters themselves. You know, the favorite line of mine, you know, because of obvious reasons. I love the fact that Weird Wolf in the Japanese Headmaster show, he was like one of the badasses of the show. You know, I mean, he was brilliant, yet oh yeah, you got some there. Let me share that there. 80-90 bucks basically for
That's the newer line that came out.
Yeah. You have one that looks like a shark, yeah. Another one
that
looks
I, like it's a the first one I grabbed, so I don't know if... Yeah. But then they had the little holograms on the chest of well, they used to be fire, water, and I think wind, the elements, but now this one looks like they have different stuff.
Go
on there.
Go planet.
Yeah, exactly. And here's what I was talking about, the shields. And these are originals. These aren't repos. And look at the price.
Wow.
Yeah, they're.
And that looks like GPS too.
No, I think these were like rubber. They were more rubbery. Yeah, so they didn't have that problem. But they're just insanely. And if you look at the bottom of them, you see the little cutout, little square.
Yeah.
Those clipped onto the sleds. So it would just sit in front of them as they were, and the sleds were a little pull back and let go little toys for them to ride on.
Those are cheap.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, $600. We got those laying around.
For just a shield, yeah.
Just six.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the Headmasters themselves, I mean, Weird Wolf was kind of, in a way, he was kind of the ringleader of the Decepticon Headmasters in the show. For much of it, it seemed to me. I mean, I don't understand Japanese, but
not that you're partial or anything.
No, not that I'm partial, but
gotcha.
But he seemed pretty damn important. Any of you guys have favorites of the Headmasters series, as far as the toys go?
I always like Chromedome. Always like Chromedome. I like the car. I thought the car was neat. And to me, I felt he should have been the leader.
Well, in the U.S., he kind of was, wasn't he? He was kind of like right underneath Fortress Maximus.
Yeah.
Really? I always thought it was highbrow. No. That always talked more and seemed to, but he was more the tactician.
Highbrow was always kind of snooty to me in Generation 1.
But, no, I always thought Chrome Dome was neat. And so especially when they came out with, it's Code, right?
Yeah, the third-party version.
Yeah, I had to snap that one up because I just thought it was badass, especially with all the poses you can put him in.
I love how the hood on here transforms, how it, like, goes from his back to come up and form his chest. I mean, it's just really slick how that works. Now, I know there's Fans Project is actually working on Mind Wipe right now, aren't they?
Yeah, they showed a prototype last year.
Yeah, but for some reason, a lot of those are, I don't know why they're being delayed, but a lot of that stuff's being delayed.
That's Fans Project for you, though.
Well, I'm kind of got mixed feelings with Fan Project stuff, but those headmasters are off the chain. I mean, Weird Wolf is like, to me, he's masterpiece Weird Wolf. But, you know, I mean, perfect effect. That, the Warden, I mean, if that's not like the best Fort Max, I don't know what is.
Fort Max?
Yeah, or Fortress.
No, I turns into a city. What's better, the vintage Fort Max, in my opinion.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
That thing is cool.
Well, this can actually become the head for that.
Yeah.
But, Bryce, you said you had a favorite?
Snapdragon.
Yeah, yes.
The jet mode's just nice.
And well, actually, the dyno mode's not bad either.
No, and he's pretty posable for it.
Yeah.
G1 figure.
I always had problems with ape face, though. I mean, in his ape mode, it's like, what do you do with the robot arms? You know, do you make like a backpack? Do you give them like a tripod? You know, it's kind of, you know, I never really cared for how he transformed.
They kind of just hang off as like booster jets or something off his legs.
Well, one of the neatest things I saw is someone made a. For Snapdragon, they made a little neck piece, so that is his neck in dragon, I guess, mode is not sticking straight up like that, but more angled like this.
Yeah.
So that's actually a really neat piece and definitely worth picking up.
Definitely.
Eventually.
I don't even think it goes for much money. I saw it on TFW. So it's probably a Shapeways type thing, and I'm sure it's not that much.
I think it's Mega Moon Man's upgrades.
Could be. He does some goofy stuff.
Yeah.
Good stuff though.
Yeah. He's got his own 3D printer and does it at home. But he's made those things for the new Metroplex to make the ramp actually reach the ground.
Yeah. Didn't he also do the heel spurs for the Springer?
I think he did some of them.
Yeah, which was great because that thing was so floppy. It was a Defender.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, good use of die-cast, just poorly placed.
I think the knees were just too weak.
Well, you had all that die-cast in the front, but nothing in the back to counter the weight.
He had too
much. Or maybe it was vice versa. He just wasn't evenly balanced.
He didn't have enough junk in the trunk.
Probably.
Well, do you guys have anything else you want to talk about with the Headmaster series?
Well, we were talking about you had the dyno cassettes.
Yes.
That was one thing that we were talking about. And I
got, those things go for have, crazy amounts of money, the vintage ones.
Yeah, hence why I have the reissue ones. I sold my originals.
You had the originals?
Yes. I know, but when these were... Where the heck did the other one go? Anyway. When these were, I think you could get them for the set of two for 30 bucks, 30 to 50 bucks, and I sold mine for 600 a set.
Wow.
So, yeah. Made it kind of easy.
Yeah.
Like 600 for the pair?
Yeah.
Are the reissues still somewhat available, or?
There's different colors of them available now, but I haven't seen the regular colors for a while.
The regular color one's kind of tough. I did want to get the black set. I thought it looked pretty good.
They were up on eBay for like $100.
And they have a smoke set too, I think. Like a smoky gray. But yeah, this set seems to have gone away.
Those Dino cassettes, they were kind of like Squawk Talk and Beast Box and Grand Slam and Rain Dance, and that they could
combine. They combine. Yep. Give me a second, and give me 1 minute.
Da 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 da. Da. There you go.
Mr. Hardhead.
That's to save you from looking at my ass.
Uh-huh.
I had to grab them out of the display case. Which, by the way, Mr. Hard Hat is way better than these, but that's beside the point.
I don't know. I'm
I do. I do. Anyway, they turned into these wonderful non-articulating... He can do the... The beginning now, of the YMCA.
Now the Dino cassettes, they were Autobots, weren't they? Not Decepticons. Yeah.
So there's that one.
If you count the original vintage cassettes, they make the teams even.
There you go. Which is probably the best one.
Yeah, I kind of like that one the best.
But
the other one was, which one is it? That has the sauropod in it.
It's either was Dial. Well, I'm trying to remember the names, the combined names.
Decimal. And
this one's Decimal. And Garofi.
This one's Decimal.
And Legout.
And Legout is this one.
Yeah.
Well, you had Noizu, Garofi, Dial.
And Zor.
And Zor.
Zor. Which, out of all those, this was, especially the vintage one.
Yeah, that's my favorite
was
one.
Extremely hard to find. This was the hardest one of the set. And as you can see, you know, you have typical reissue, bootleg reissue, whatever you call about. But
yeah.
Issues.
Yeah, they just... I
would rather have that than not have them at all. Because I don't want to pay $700 for a set of two cassettes, you know.
Yeah, I'm not
the real robot here.
I'm pretty sure I sold both sets to the same guy, and I think it was right around $600 for each set. So I think it was right around $1,200. But you know, I use that money and got other things. So.
Swage is saying that $600 a pair is a steal now for those cassettes, and he said the KOs are worth over $300 now. He has both the black and gray sets. He said, "Give me that Dallas."
Okay, so he says that this set is worth $300,
which you know that pretty much makes him a big no for me now.
Well. But if that's the case, guess what? This one's for sale right here because I got another one right there. There you go. I'll sell it.
Okay. Hold on to them for me, and whenever I get my check, I will buy them off of you, but not for $300.
Well, that's why I'm selling them. If I can get $300,
no,
I'm on my way to getting something else I want.
No.
Isn't that how that works?
Yes.
You sell and you get more. You sell and you get more.
Yes.
Yeah.
But
Guys, I got to feed Eddie, okay? Sorry,
yeah.
Eddie.
Yeah, he's fat enough as it is.
He's got to stay that way.
Yeah. He's in a perpetual jack-off mode back there. It looks like his hand's, you know, reaching for his crotch back there.
Shh. He's sleeping.
Yeah, with his hand on his dick.
So, what's your point?
Yeah.
He was itchy.
Yeah.
And fell asleep.
He's like, give me that Red Bull. He give me wings.
Wake your ass up. Nope, that's mine. All right, so yeah, that's all I got for the cassettes.
Now, what else was unique to the Headmaster series? Anything?
The white Headmasters.
Yeah, but were they ever in the show? I just thought they were just the Chase. In Japan, they had Chase figures for these little guys.
I think there was a rumor that they're sold with the Throttle Bots as a coloring contest.
I'd heard that, but I'm almost positive those were just Chase. Now, I say that, but I've seen these guys boxed. I actually had one boxed, and it's a window box.
Yeah.
So you would know. So I'm not sure where I lean more towards what you're saying than I do the fact that they were a Chase, simply because I don't think they would change the packaging on everything just to do a Chase promotion. And if it wasn't, I mean, you could see right into it and see which one the Chase one was.
Yeah. Not like the Micromaster reissues they did recently, where they just had the number of the mold and not what color it was.
Right. Right. Which I have a bunch of those too, but that's beside the point.
Yeah, I don't have the Chase.
I like them. I think I got, actually, just so happens, got some of the red one right here. The Fury, I think it's called.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, they did a lot of those. They did a black one, a white one, a red one. All different, you know. One was six wing, one was six train, and the other one was, I guess, six knight.
Six turbo,
too.
And six build was a Devastator color one.
Yeah, and then they did a Land Cross in all black also.
Yeah.
So, nice little throwback to the Chase things in Japan.
I think that's all their exclusives, though.
Yeah, the Headmasters line didn't have as many variants as the U.S. did. Now, one thing in the Japanese line, was Squeeze Play in Master Force, or was he in Headmasters? I think he was Headmaster.
Master Force,
okay.
Yeah, he had a different name too.
Yeah, and one that did not fly here in the U.S.
Was it Cancer?
Cancer,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But you know, I think that'll wrap it up for Headmasters and everything. Unless you guys can think of anything.
No, this one.
Well, Headmasters was an interesting series, and like I said, it was the very first Divergent series from the West storyline that we got, and it was probably, in my opinion, the closest to the original G1 series. The animation was virtually identical to the U.S. series. And kind of looks like it almost took up right after season two / season three. Master Force had a little bit more of an anime-ish style, in my opinion. They had more of the anime-style humans. It seemed like they were a little bit more cartoony than in previous versions of Transformers. That's my opinion. I mean, they weren't, you know, way over the top, but a little bit different. We'll talk about more of them next week on TFYLP. We'll move on with Master Force. So if you guys have any Master Force figures, or if you have Master Force available to watch, if you got a chance, maybe watch a few episodes in the coming week. I'm trying to think. There was something else I wanted to bring up on the show. Ah, yes, I wanted to give a shout out to a podcast I was listening to the other day while I was doing some things, and they actually mentioned us on the show, and I want to give a little shout out to the Shattered Cast. You guys have a pretty good show. I listened to it, and it was really entertaining. And so if you're looking for another Transformer podcast to check out the Shattered Cast. You guys, thanks for the mention. You almost let me forget, Brett. I just now remember what it was I wanted to mention. Next weekend, April 26th at 11 a.m. in Indianapolis, Indiana, at Closet Space Toys, there will be a Midwest Transformers collectors swap meet meetup. So if you are in anywhere within a reasonable driving distance for the swap meet, come on out. I know I'm going to be there. Capture Prey is going to be there. Chad's going to be there, so you can make fun of him face to face. But it should be a good time. We're going to plan on bringing some toys. I'm going to bring a few things. I've got M3 for sale. I've got a Hegemon for sale. I've got some classics. I've got some Japanese Beast Wars I'm going to be bringing. I really want to unload them because I'm in Death Source mode here. So help
Mega
me
Toy
here.
Fan, Mega Toy Fan more than likely will be there. We're trying to work out one little glitch now, but the big thing is we're not going to be able to take everything. So if there's stuff that you want, let us know. Let us know on Facebook or you know wherever. I'm pretty easy to get a hold of. Just get a hold of us and let us know what you all want. And we'll bring it.
Yeah, but we're, you know, from what I understand, we've got a lot of space there at Closet Space Toys. I can't remember the address right off the top of my head, but you can check out, just do a Google search for Closet Space Toys in Indianapolis, Indiana. And within, you know, if you're within a reasonable driving distance, 2 or 3 hours, come on out, you know. It's sure be fun, you know, meet with other collectors, see and maybe swap for some good toys.
It is 6025 South Madison, Suite D, Indianapolis, Indiana.
Ah, there you have it. There you have it. If you're also, I also want to bring attention to the Facebook group that we have started for the Midwest Transformers collectors. If you're in Indiana, Ohio, Kentucky, Tennessee, Missouri, Illinois, and I would even say Michigan. You know, if you're in this area, you know, you can be part of the group, and we'd love to have you in. You know, we're going to have more of these meetups, kind of in between conventions. I think the whole plan is maybe to have at least a couple of these a year. This first one is going to be in Indianapolis. I'm kind of hoping that maybe we'll have one in Cincy or even Louisville sometime soon. We may come down to Nashville. You know, it all depends on what's available and the opportunities out there. But this first one we're going to have at Closet Space Toys in Indianapolis, Indiana, next weekend, April 26th at 11 a.m. Please let us know that you're coming, you know, because, you know, we don't want to be there and you know, be waiting on people and nobody shows up.
Like we were talking about, is maybe we all decide to go out and get something to eat.
Yeah.
And that's the time you decide to show up, and then you want to know where everyone's at.
Yes. I know, like I said, I'll be there. You'll most likely be there. Capture Prey has said that they will be there. Suede said he's going to be there. He's going to be bringing a lot of his stuff. And I know there's a lot of other people that said that they're going to be there. So
the official head count's right around a dozen, a little more.
But that is confirmed. Yeah,
that's confirmed. So just, you know, for all those people that are on the fence or whatever, you know, make up your damn minds and let us know.
Yeah. But it's going to be fun nonetheless. You know, I mean, I know whenever we were doing the Kentucky meetups, we would always have 7 or 8 of us, sometimes more, get together, and those were always a blast. You know, I know the last one we had was
almost setting my house on fire. That was good.
Yeah, that was great. That was great.
That was good stuff right there.
Yeah. I know the first one we had was in Lexington, and at A Plus Comics down there.
Was that when we went in the winter when it was freezing cold?
Yeah.
Everyone kept slipping on the ice.
My ex-wife, she fell and busted her ass right before we went in. That was hilarious. I didn't think it was then, but now I look back on it, I'm like, yeah, she's a klutz.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
But I believe that'll wrap it up for this episode, unless you guys have anything you want to mention.
Nope.
We've got... We also are looking for new podcasters as well to join in with the TFYLP crew. If you're interested in becoming a part of TFYLP and are really dedicated to helping promote the show and working on the show, I'll be honest with you guys. If you think coming on a podcast is easy work and you can just kind of float through it, it's not. You know, I mean, you're expected to get on and talk and be involved.
And you actually are interacting, yes. Socializing.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Scary.
But we're looking for podcasters, and if you're interested, please email me at podcast@tfylp.com. I know I've gotten a couple of responses. I am going to get back to some people that have contacted me, it's just been my work schedule and doing some other things. It's been a little bit hectic, and I haven't had a chance to reply. But we are looking for at least three or four other people, and we are also looking to expand out to another separate podcast, but it's for another audience within the Transformers realm. I won't talk about it too much because, plans haven't been finalized for it yet. And we are looking for members to cast for that crew. And if you can, contact I Am Unicron, Brandon Boudreaux, on Facebook. He's kind of helping me get that together. And it's going to be a really special show. And it's going to feed another part of the fandom here in the realm of Transformer collecting that I think is actually untouched, and it really needs to be addressed, in my opinion. And I hope it really goes over well, and I hope you guys really enjoy it. I mean, there are some people that won't be able to get it, but hey, it's not everybody is privy to everything. But I believe that'll wrap us up this week for TFYLP episode number 100. Again, you're thinking, well, why nothing really special for episode number 100? Well, this kind of is. It is officially the 100th episode since we count the Geek Existence Toys episodes. But we didn't officially become a dedicated Transformers podcast until episode 11. So technically 111 will be 100, and actually 134 will be as TFYLP. So, I know it's kind of confusing, but that's why we do it. But we finally reached triple digits, guys. Yay. Well, we will see you next time on Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure for Bryce and Megamus.
Later.
We will see you next time on TFYLP.
This has been Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, a presentation of TFTalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@TFYLP.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening. And we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.